Hello and welcome to the ATG Super Show. We are back again with the Renegade Master, and today I'm joined by John Babb, the one and only, and Steph. And we're going to talk about some games. We're going to talk about some news topics and things. It's great to have you guys.
Good to be here, mate. Good to be here.
Good to be here. I haven't been on one for a while. Was I on last week? Oh, I was on last week. Yeah. One on one.
Well, there you go. So you have been on one recently.
Yeah, and you were on the one I was on last time as well, which was like a week before.
No,
that
was me. That was you and Sam.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
you just put Steph.
I was on a week off.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry there. I sat opposite someone with glasses and I just got confused.
They all blend together.
I mean, we should really be sponsored by Vision Express by this point.
Look, yeah. All right, Specsavers, mate. Thanks
or
very much.
Specsavers. Or Leighton's. That's my.
What's that?
Leighton's is a local optician's to me. Or Asda Opticians, which is my personal optician of choice.
Wow, that is. Yeah.
Skip that.
Welcome to Opticians Chat. Yeah.
Anyway, let's move swiftly on with the show. Just a quick note to say, if you want to contact us at all, we're on Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV, and we're on Facebook, All Time Gaming Official. So if you want to drop us a comment, if you want to ask us a question for the comment section at the end of the show, or any of those good things, make sure you head on over there. Also, if you want to get hold of some ATG merch, which is pretty sweet, I will say. Some of our Patreons have been rocking it and showing a few pictures of them in the t-shirts and some hoodies and things. Head over to teespring.com/stores/alltimegamingTV or head to our YouTube channel, and there is a link below all the videos now popping up.
Little roller underneath.
So we haven't got ours yet. I want my t-shirts.
I know, right?
The Jose, right?
Yeah, the Jose. I haven't ordered the Jose.
I want to be wearing it. Right now on the podcast.
Yeah, I think every video that I'm going to be in, I'm going to rock an ATG t-shirt, but they're not here.
Or a sweatshirt. I don't think I own a sweatshirt, so this is going to be like my first sweater.
That can't be true.
A sweater. Not a jumper, a sweater.
But like a hoodie?
No, a sweater, like the sweatshirt that the Americans wear.
Yeah. Oh, no hood. Like
no hood,
sports sweatshirt.
Yeah, like a sports sweatshirt. I don't own one.
I think I do own one.
It's like, for me, that's a very American thing. Like, yeah.
Sweater.
Sweater.
I always used to hate hoodies. I don't know why. I didn't like the hood. Yeah, and same thing, coats with hoods. Man. But then I kind of changed like 10 years ago maybe, and now I wear hoodies all the time.
Oh, mate, it's a staple. For my wardrobe for about 5 years, just hoodies.
Do you ever use the hood?
When it rains.
Even those short sleeve or sleeve.
Oh, I've never had a sleeve. Oh, well, no, come on, hoodie. Man. No.
I'll tell you what I do love, and I've lost it, and I want to get another one, is a gilet. In the summer, I love a gilet in the summer, and mine's got it's kind of that coat material. So it's a little bit like
the greeny material.
No, it's what
colour is
it?
Is it a country colour?
It's burgundy. Yeah,
it's gonna be a colour.
Burgundy with like a navy hood.
Yeah, I can see
it. It looks nice.
That.
I don't know what I've done with it. I bloody lost it, but I do love it.
That was a Jersey staple, actually. I remember that.
That's basically a hoodie with no sleeves. Jersey.
But it's got its like puffy coat material.
Yeah, the gilet. Right. Yeah, the country gilet look.
Like a puffer jacket with no sleeves.
Yeah, but in summer, I love a gilet. Because it's not too hot. Your arms are out. You can wear a t-shirt, but it keeps your body a little bit warm. And if it rains, pop the hood up. Perfect.
Practical.
Anyway. Moving swiftly on. First up, let's have a little chit-chat about what games we've been playing since we last powwowed about video games.
Mm. Wow.
Let's go first to...
Make a decision.
Oh, it's me. Oh, wow. Okay. As always, I've been playing strategy games, but wait, not Crusader Kings.
Oh,
whoa.
Shock.
Holy moly.
That's a surprise.
Yeah. I've been playing Northgard.
Oh, okay.
Yes, nice.
Another strategy game I've heard of and don't care about.
Really?
Sorry.
You haven't heard about this?
I've heard you mention it.
Yeah, it's a real-time strategy game, RTS, set in Viking mythology. Different clans battle each other. You build a base, you do a bit of farming, that sort of stuff.
It's exactly the same as every other game.
It's like Age of Empires.
Every other RTS.
Yeah, basically.
Well, what I didn't understand about Northgard
You played it, yeah?
Yeah, I've played it. Not much, admittedly, but you have to get to a certain population before you can move on to the next... hexagon area or something like that.
No, it's more that you can't just expand freely. You have to colonize each area, and each area has a limit to the number of buildings you can build, so it forces you to keep expanding basically if you want to progress. But yeah, I'll be honest with you, I played the campaign mode very easy, even on normal mode, and I was just like, I've had my fill. Has the genre really changed since Age of Empires? No, is the answer. That's my main issue.
I feel like they've been sullied a little bit because of the whole mobile gaming, pay
Clash of Clans and that sort of
kind
stuff,
of RTS, where you have to you pay your money to make things build faster and get resources. So they've put me off the actual RTS games. But like Total War is that an RTS? Would you say that's an RTS?
It's a mixture of both, isn't it? Yeah. Strategy and RTS.
I quite enjoyed Total War, although I never actually played. I don't think I've ever played any proper RTSs. I'm like Command and
Red
Conquer,
Alert?
Maybe.
Yeah, Command and Conquer.
I did
yeah.
play Red Alert. That's true. And then Tiberian Sun, I played a little bit.
Yeah, the new Total War's coming out soon, or
yeah,
it's already
it's
out.
May. It's May.
Oh, beginning of May.
Yeah, Three Kingdoms.
Yeah, wait for Three Kingdoms.
Actually, looks pretty decent. Yeah,
so I get a bit more into them than I do the proper RTSs. But
the thing with the Total War games is that the strategy map is just so bland.
Yeah.
Like, the diplomacy is really lacking. So
that's why they're better.
No, man. You need a bit of diplomacy going on. Otherwise, it's just battle after battle after battle.
Every time I finish a battle or it gets to my turn, the first thing I do is go to my diplomacy and I say, can we be friends? Nope. Can we be friends? Nope. Do you want to trade? Nope. And I just go through the list.
Whoa.
Yeah. And after that, I'm just like, okay, now it's my turn. Let's have a battle.
Yeah, you don't want to be my friends. Battle. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Like the Warhammer one that they did, it looked amazing. Real good variety in factions and all that sort of stuff. But it became an absolute grind. And then it's like, if I'm playing a Total War game and I'm simulating every battle, what am I actually doing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
I would like to win a game like that just using diplomacy.
But do you simulate your battles then if you play a Total War game? You don't actually do the fighting?
I try and do the fighting as much as I can. And for the first hour of the game, I'm like, yeah, this is great. I'm going to play every single battle. Yeah. And then by like 3-4 hours in, I'm like, this is just a grind now. Like, it's relentless battling. And I'm like, there needs to be a little bit more going on, which is why the diplomacy is so important.
True. Yeah.
It's funny because I am not a commander or a general of an army, yet whenever I play a Total War game, I think that I can, just using my skills, outfox the computer and I can win. And I just very quickly discover that I'm just not very good at them. And I probably should have just simulated the battle and it would have gone better.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to the point where you simulate and you win more often than when you're playing, it's sort of, it's a kick in the nads, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the TV show where they... It was
Time Commanders.
Yeah,
it was Time Commanders,
And they
that is a deep cut, Jonesy. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, they used... It was basically Rome Total War.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Rome Total War. They recreated the battles,
Badged. I don't think it was Rome.
No, it wasn't just Rome because they did a lot of the other
ones.
But... I just
That's
what
insane,
a cool show.
Isn't it?
What a cool show.
I mean, cool was one word for it, but yeah.
Learning. They had history. You got to see some historians say, actually, the Spartans would have fought like this in this battle, and they would have used their...
Yeah, and they would have won.
And they would have done this. And the gamers did what I did, and they thought they could outfox
Julius Caesar.
But then there's like, no, actually, what they did was this, and that's how they won. Although I did see a couple where the gamers won, and they were like, oh... that shouldn't probably have happened. I'm not sure how you beat the pole arms. What are those guys with the long spear sword?
Pikemen.
I don't know, whatever they're called. Yeah, and they were like, oh, you shouldn't have been able to defeat them with a cavalry. You managed to somehow win. That was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, enjoyable.
Time Commanders, wow.
So, Steph, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a couple of things. The first I'm going to talk about, because I've probably been playing it a little bit more, is Anno 1800.
Ooh.
Which is a very much a city builder game. I would call it a city builder game with an objective. Whereas something like City Skyline, for example, you're very much...
A sandbox.
It's a sandbox game, and you just really fill the needs of residential, commercial, industrial.
Yeah.
The three,
it's
like,
a SimCity, isn't it?
It's
SimCity, basically.
But this is very much you need to create industries... Like, you need a sausage industry because the middle class like sausage. You need a wine industry.
I feel like they don't. I like sausage, and I'm from a maybe not as middle class as you like. I feel like any of my middle class friends probably don't eat that many sausages.
He's eating wall sausages. Like, I bet you're making like sage and bloody, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've moved on. I eat the fancy sausages.
Oh, now you see, that's how you know you've made it to the middle class, mate. Not those filthy hot dog sausages.
Thanks to my mum and dad, don't worry. Otherwise, I'd still be in the walls.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's Richmond.
Richmond's, yeah. These are the basic sausage.
We're not, oh,
pack
no. You can go more basic. When I was at uni, Asda frozen sausages, 50p a bag.
A bag,
and it was about 30 sausages in a bag.
Yes.
Oh, mate.
I think it was 50p or maybe a pound. And then packets of Asda super noodles, which were 9p a packet.
You're having sausages and noodles.
Yeah.
I was staple of a
carbohydrate, protein,
diet.
And then Asda baked beans.
Oh, God.
And then every meal, when right at the, before you got your loan in again, every meal I had was sausages, noodles, and beans, and it, each meal was like 30p.
That is that, awesome. Yeah. Fair play. I used to eat cereal out of a saucepan. So
I did a lot of cereal at uni and pasta.
Pasta, yeah. Yeah. Cheese noodles. Toasty, mate.
Oh, that's a great show. But then as soon as you got your loan in, I used to go mental and I'd have takeaway every day for that series and then be fucked and then have to get the sausages and noodles again.
Great, back on the sausages.
We've digressed. I think I've derailed.
It's your sausage factories, mate. Tell us
sausage
more.
Factories.
Certain buildings need glass windows. So you need a glass windows industry. And everything's done on kind of trees. So
that's
deep.
That's more detailed than I thought it'd be, to be honest.
So you need to balance all of these, right? And then you need to balance as well the amount of citizens you have for tax reasons. But you can't have too many citizens because then you need to just produce so much.
And what sort of direct role can you have in sort of influencing your citizens? Or do you just have to control the economy and let it happen organically?
Yeah, it's more economy-based because you just literally lay foundations.
So, is this your pitch to become Home Secretary?
It could be. I think I'm quite a good Home Secretary.
Yeah. Is there an issue with knife crime currently that you're attempting to deal with in your town?
No, but there is an issue of arsonists.
Oh,
from,
arsonists?
Rebels. So you build... This is where I spoke before about where it gets a little bit busy work, because you build a police station and then the citizens and the police say, oh, there are arsonists going around town because they're not happy with the situation in your city. So you have to go and find them, and then you have to click on the individual citizens who are carrying torches to pick them up and arrest them.
So you're literally just clicking on people to arrest them.
Yeah, and then they just fade.
That sounds like busy work to me.
I quite like that though, and that sort of game. I quite like when you get to interact on a per character basis. Like you can interact on an individual NPC basis. When you've got that top down view and you can't interact, like we were saying about
for me, it's like you're doing it directly. Like you're some kind of god in that point.
Yeah.
That point of view. Whereas all the other mechanics are set up to be organic. So like, if you built the police station, you should just be able to watch your police people go and
arrest them,
or try and deal with the rebels in a political sense. But
I don't know. Can you
not address
have both?
Their issues?
Yeah, yeah, maybe, the police go around. It's like on an automatic cycle. They go around and they arrest people.
Yeah.
But when you get a quest, a citizen quest, they're called. That's when you have to start interacting on a.
So,
granular level.
So when you play a tower defense game and you've got all your towers doing all their own thing, and then there's one tower that you control and you've got like a target, and you realize that you're doing nothing, but actually it's quite nice to just click on people and shoot them as well.
Yeah, I guess I'm seeing it more like, you know, if I'm playing Football Manager, I can't just suddenly take my kit off and run onto the pitch and score a hat trick.
But you've got if you do that, then you get rewards. I can't remember what they're called, but you basically then stick that on a trade union, and then the trade union has a circle of influence. So if you want to build a trade union for your farmers, you build the trade union next
near
to your
farms.
And then you put things in the slots, like power ups in the slots, and then it gives like a 20% more.
Okay. This is so detailed.
It is very detailed.
Would you recommend?
I'd recommend, yeah. I'm actually
I dabble
really
with these
liking
kind of
it.
Things.
On my week off, I played it. I must have sunk 30 hours into it now.
Wow.
Genuinely makes me want to play it. Problem is, I know that I'll go away, I'll get on Steam, I'll have a look at what it actually looks like, and I think this looks like shit.
It looks decent, man.
Does it look decent?
No, yeah, the graphics look good, man.
I often impressed. Get that with this sort of game. I'm genuinely...
this isn't a Crusader Kings 2, mate. This is actually 3D, looks okay. Looks the nuts. Yeah.
And then, because I like the idea of the game, it's like Football Manager. So it often sounds like a good idea for a game, and when you look at it, I'm like, it's fucking Excel.
Yeah, it's Excel spreadsheet, man.
I don't want to play
this
Excel.
This is far from Excel. It's actually quite a pretty looking game.
Oh, right. Okay.
Very
it does look nice.
Decent, mate.
So I've been playing that. And I've also been playing a lot, a couple of hours of Mortal Kombat as well, which I thought I'd get in there. And Mortal Kombat 11.
Yes, I had a pitiful performance at the NetherRealm launch event of Mortal Kombat 11.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, we all went, didn't we, to go and have a nice little time and to go spend some time appreciating Mortal Kombat. And we were invited to have one of us take part and do a mini competition for journos and influencers.
To save Earthrealm.
Yes. And I didn't really do any practicing. I probably should have done.
No. And you had the ruddy red cheeks of an Alex Jones that had been enjoying the free booze.
Indeed. But then, this is what you asked me earlier about, you know, losing to Wayne.
Yeah.
Lovely guy.
Well done, Wayne.
Well done, Wayne. Sure, he deserved it. Do you know what really pisses me off? Because I do exactly the same thing. And this is what's pissing me off about these sorts of events. It happens every time. You go and you know you're talking to another gamer.
Yeah.
Like, even though you're like a journalist or a YouTuber, whatever, but you've been playing games all your life, you know that you'll love them. And we had that little bit beforehand where he was like, oh, have you been playing at all? Like, you've been practicing? I was like, nah, I've barely played it, you know, for years. And he's like, yeah, me either. And we're like, oh, you know, take it easy on me sort of thing. And then as soon as you start, you've obviously both played at least relatively recently, if not quite a lot back in the day. And you'd spend the first few seconds just going, oh yeah, I remember how to do that move. And then you start doing specials and moves and sort of crazy shit. You could tell that we both were a little bit more, unpracticed than other people, because we both immediately went for Scorpion. And I think that's a sign that at least I know how to, I can
You're an old
take someone
player.
Out of Scorpion.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he kicked my ass.
You played Scorpion versus Scorpion?
We did, Scorpion versus Scorpion, yeah.
Wow. And he should have sub-zeroed it.
Wayne uppercutted your head off, I remember, to win the match.
He brutally finished
me. Yeah, brutality.
Brutality.
Yeah, it was great.
Which I love. I know the finishes are like the thing, but when you do the uppercut...
It's more organic, isn't it, with the brutality?
It's so much more organic.
Yeah.
And it's got, when it says like brutality, and you're like, that is wicked. I like
that. The brutalities are great.
But the game looks fantastic. The game
it's changed a lot. Like, I haven't played it since MK Trilogy.
Right,
wow. I had a little go, and I'm like, I want to do down forward low punch or something to do a freeze thing, and it didn't do anything. I'm like, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah,
like, I literally had no idea. Then it just became a mash the pad thing, which also didn't work for me.
Yeah. Yesterday, I found after playing Soul Calibur with Chris, and then playing Tekken, they feel very button bashy.
Right,
like you could just circle your left stick.
Yes.
Around and just mash buttons. But with Mortal Kombat, it feels very more methodical.
Yeah.
In a sense that you have to know your combinations, you have to press things in sequence to counter.
You can't quite cheese it as much as you do in a lot of other games, which I really like.
No.
It's weird actually, because I was talking to someone about this, and I know I'm solidly in the middle of three camps, right? When it comes to fighting games, I think you've got mash all the buttons when you first start playing it, and you've then got, you know, a few moves and you try and pull them off, which is like the middle group, and you've then got knows how to pull off moves and knows when to implement them.
Yeah.
And in those very obviously very broad categories, I'm solidly in the middle camp in that I always learn a few moves, I know how to do some stuff, so I can, but you often get beaten by the pad mashers because they're just going mental.
Yeah.
And when you play other people, so me and Wayne would be in that middle category where we both knew a few moves. He just happened to know a couple more than I did, and he knew how to block a few of the moves that I knew how to do, and I wasn't quite up on that.
Yeah.
But then you've got the people, like other people at that event who were professional, like gamers.
Well, they were mental,
They were amazing, and they knew how to play the game. It was actually a little bit more dull, I'd say, because they did a lot of blocking, a lot of ducking.
It's like a chess match, isn't it?
Yeah, and as soon as that opening came, they would go for it,
yeah,
and they'd use it to good effect. But I'm in that solid middle camp, and I prefer being one of those players who can pull off moves, and it looks cool, and you do cool stuff.
Yeah.
But you do get beaten by some of the people who first pick up and just go, ah! But like I think Steph said, Mortal Kombat is less of that.
Yeah, when I played it yesterday, I haven't played Mortal Kombat game properly since PlayStation 1 era. And so I immediately was on the stick, whacking it around. And then pressing any button I could, and I wasn't doing anything. And the first battle when you fight Sonya Blade, I lost.
Right,
got smashed. Yeah. So I thought, oh no, I'm gonna need to do
a long streak.
Yeah. Do some practicing.
And I found myself actually using the D-pad.
Yeah, using the stick. Using the stick.
Oh, yeah.
The animal so hard.
I used the D-pad because all of the combos was either up, down, left, right, and then something.
And to go like left on the D-pad, it's just left, but to go stick, you've got to go left, middle, left, you've got to like
it's way more
thing.
Complicated. Yeah,
it's horrendous.
Yeah, so I found myself using the D-pad yesterday rather than using
use the D-pad.
But if I was Eddie Gordo on Tekken or something,
it'd be great. Yeah,
then this thing would just be going like this, and then buttons.
You've got a 57 hit combo.
Yeah.
So I've played a bit of Mortal Kombat recently because I played a bit of 10, and we played some of the beta release for 11, and I've played it a little bit with mates over the years, but I actually haven't played it a lot since 1. That was the
isn't the original?
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 1 was the
one.
Although I have played it, I'm not that, I shouldn't be that surprised
on the Nintendo.
The SNES
Nintendo days.
Yeah, when it originally came out, that's the only one I've ever owned on the SNES, and me and my brother used to play it a lot.
Yeah.
And I was Scorpion always Scorpion then.
We only had 4 characters to choose from or something like that, was it?
Eight.
Scorpion's Sub-Zero, Raiden, Kano.
Kano was there.
No, it's Kun Lao was Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh, Liu Kang then.
Liu Kang.
You could unlock Reptile.
I don't think you could fight as Reptile though. I think it was just I thought he was a mystery character who would like occasionally turn up and challenge you.
He was, but I'm sure you could unlock him. Could you? Was that later? Was that later? You
might have been.
Maybe it was later.
Sonya Blade.
Sonya
Blade. She's been in it a long time.
Yeah. Johnny Cage. Let's not forget Johnny Cage. Johnny Cage.
I think we've actually said this on the best podcast character. Before. We at least said it on the channel. Is I remember having conversations when that game came out and was like, I don't see how games could possibly get any better because that's real pictures.
That always happens, man. I remember like Mortal Kombat was the first. Like these are human beings in my screen. Oh my god! Then it'd be like, I sort of like played FIFA 97, thinking, oh my god, this is like real life. You're looking at it now, it's like polygons, like mashing together. It's like, what?
But Mortal Kombat 1 was actual people, was real people.
Yeah, it was real people. Yeah. Photos.
Photographs, wasn't it?
There's a cool YouTube video that I saw the other day. I can't remember whose channel it was on, but people should definitely check it out, which is behind the scenes of the original Mortal Kombat and how they filmed it. And it was all done on, it wasn't even like green screen. It was on some, I think it was just on black or something. Mm. And they filmed the moves. And I can't believe they actually went through, keyed all that out, got those animations, put them in. That is fair play to them for doing all that.
There's a lot of effort.
But anyway, I think, yeah, we should move. Oh, quickly, I will touch on a game I've been playing, but then we should definitely move on to the main topic. I have been playing Jurassic World Evolution.
The management game for Jurassic Park.
Yeah, so we've all been in a wheelhouse.
Nerd alert.
Yes, absolutely. But do you know what? And touching on your point about the fact that you can interact and you can pick people up. So I've been playing the game for a bit, and one of the things I love is you have rangers who drive around in vehicles, and you have tactical teams who fly around in helicopters, and you can take control of the cars and the helicopters and fly around. So when you're the ranger,
it's a bit like an RTS for a moment, almost like you're controlling them.
So you know, like a third person open world game.
Oh wow!
So you can drive around your park completely, like in third person mode. You drive around, and if you've got a broken fence, you can like drive up to the fence and you click a button and you fix the fence. And then you can also control the rifle guy. So if you've got an ill dinosaur and you've researched the medical thing,
put it down.
Yeah, bang.
And if you can then fly the helicopter just like in COD or something, and you can hover over the top of them, take control of the guy with the tranquilizer gun, and you can tranquilize like your Indoraptor that's escaped and is like eating people around the park. Which I love. I love that they've included that.
Can you pick people up and put them inside cages?
You cannot, unfortunately, pick anybody
damn
up.
Damn it. You could. That's like a,
can you leave cages,
great thing on
leave cages open so people course, wander in? So you can create your own crises that you have to... I've got this image of you just basically having this park and then artificially creating all these disasters so you can
15 T-Rexes and you're just like...
Do you know what? I have not done that once.
Really?
I haven't. And I've really been enjoying the game. It's a good level of... It's relatively easy. I don't think there's any difficulty that you can change. You also can't access money. Like, you can't increase the amount of money you've got. I've been playing the main campaign.
Yeah.
And you can't just say, yes, start me off with 10 billion quid. That I can't remember.
So there's no, like, sandbox mode, effectively.
No, maybe there is that you unlock, but I haven't got it yet. But you start off, so you've got 5 islands, I believe it is, and you play one island, and you've got, like, a bit of a park, but a tiny little bit, and you expand it. And then when you get to... 3-star rating for your park, it unlocks the next island, and then there's a bit of a park there, and each one has got its own challenges.
Right, okay.
And it's actually like, the way they've done it, I really like, because it makes you keep playing it and it makes it interesting.
Yeah.
But one of the most important things, and now I'm an adult, I never got this when I was younger, and the reason I hated these sorts of games, I think, was because I played them too much, in that I could never just leave it alone. So I'd always be doing stuff, and I'd spend all my money, and then I'd fuck myself over and it'd all fall apart. Whereas in this, now I'm older, I've got other shit to get on with. I'm running over here doing this, I'm running after the kid doing that. And one of my parks got like 70 million quid because it's just churning.
Oh, yeah.
And I go back and I'm like, I've got what? I've got all this money. This is amazing.
So you're just letting the game play. You're not pausing.
No, I'm just letting
it play.
So
you're going out and doing your real life stuff and then coming back and like, I'm a billionaire.
Yeah. Because my park is, I've got a really good park.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I'd be so paranoid that something was going to go wrong.
Dinosaur gets out and he gets it dead.
So I constantly, the way they've done it is in certain islands, bad things are more likely to happen. So one island, there's more likely to be storms. In one island, there's more likely to be power outages. But I've got enough redundancies built into my power plants on one of my islands that nothing is going to go that drastically wrong. And as long as I check on it every 10 minutes, all I'm doing is churning money.
Yeah.
And so, and there's another, you can kind of cheese it a little bit because you unlock the other islands and you play another island. You can't use money from island to island, right? You've got a specific amount per island.
Right.
Because otherwise you'll be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But one of the things you can do is your research and your exploration is linked across all 5 islands.
Okay.
So what I did cheat a little bit, which feels cheating. I went to one island, didn't have any money left, so I went back to my really like islands loaded, and I did a whole load of expeditions, got a whole load of, you get these, you can sell fossils and you can sell like minerals that you find if they're not fossils, and you can make money from it. But if you leave them in your research place, you can go back to your other island and sell them, even though you didn't have to spend the money.
Oh, so it's a workaround, basically. It's a workaround. Yeah, yeah.
And you can also go back to your other island and research other things with spending the money from that island.
So you've
island.
Got like a hub island that's super powered.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that filters across all your other islands. So
a loophole.
Yeah. So I never do any research on the smaller new islands. I go back to my rich island and they do all the graft. They do all that work. And then I go back to the other one and then I've got all this.
Until they patch that out. And you'll be like, no.
Oh, mate, I'm set. I've got nearly 100% on like all my dinosaurs. I've got you know, shitloads of money that I can get from just researching sites. And every time you go to an island, you unlock new sites that right. then open to all the other islands. So they might patch it out, but I hope they don't.
I mean, it's been out quite a while. They haven't patched it out. Yeah, I think you're safe.
And it's got some DLC out as well now, isn't it?
Yeah, although the DLC is expensive. Yeah. For what it is, you get like 3 new dinosaurs and...
Welcome to Strategy Game DLCs, yeah. my friend.
Yeah, well,
they are an absolute rip-off.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think I'm going to do it anytime soon.
Not to bring up, it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't bring up Crusader Kings 2. But if you bought the entire amount of DLC at full price, it probably cost you like 300, 400 quid.
Really?
And some of those are just unit packs, where it's like the units for, you know, England looks slightly different from the units from France. You're like, no one cares that much. Well, I don't anyway.
Jurassic World is like, you can unlock these 3 new of your favorite dinosaurs. I've never heard of them. And it's like, no, it's not $9.99.
Okay, like that's excessive.
And I don't really care.
But even on North really World, like unlocking one clan is like 4 or 5 quid. And you're like, what? This should be included. This used to be like free stuff.
Yeah.
Like an expansion used to be
the Wolf Clan.
Yeah, the Wolf Clan. £5. No thanks, mate. I'll play as the Goat Clan.
One thing I'm really looking forward to, though, and I'm keep playing the game for, is I'm really looking forward to unlocking the gyrospheres, because I think you can man a gyrosphere and drive it around the park.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to just do that and drive around. If I can somehow link it to my Vive, because you can... So people
that
say...
would be sick.
So often with games, you obviously can't... You know, they've got to be VR compatible.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the with some third-party software and that, you can... put games into VR, especially that sort of game where it's and it can track
That'd
your head
sweet.
Motion. So you could play the game completely normally and then get in the gyrosphere, put it through the VR headset, and then the VR headset will
roll around,
link to it,
yeah.
And then you can like look around and roll around gyrosphere looking at dinosaurs. I friggin' love that. I'll play the music.
You would love Jurassic. You'd love to go to Jurassic Park.
I would love to go to Jurassic Park.
I can tell. I'm playing a Jurassic Park management game where I just play around in first person mode as much as I can.
So they did a cool thing as well, in that if you depower, so obviously with those games is often power is a consideration. You can depower your ranger station, which means you then can use that power for other stations if you can't afford to build a power station.
Yeah.
But you can still control the ranger unit, which you can't do. You can't send the ranger unit to do something if it's depowered.
Right.
But you can control it yourself and go and do what you need to do, which is actually really fucking useful, because in a storm,
you can get stuck in.
There's wind, there's rain, and you're driving around in third person, like fixing fences and stuff, which is really cool.
Fixing fences.
Apparently, you can.
Can you get hacked by anyone? Can you get hacked by anyone?
Like, yeah. People come in. Yeah, literally. Yeah. So people, they'll
Didn't
hack
the
your.
Word.
I think they call them not terrorists, but that kind of thing. And they'll say someone's poisoned your dinosaurs, or someone's hacked this power thing, and someone's
Quality.
Opened the gates here, and you've got emergency shelters that open. And all the
there's
got to
be a Dennis Nedry mod.
There should be. I want to. I think I'm not sure which island. I haven't got the island yet. I think the island with the main. The original Jurassic Park in. I don't think I've unlocked that yet.
But yeah, I haven't unlocked that yet.
No, I think I've only done 4 islands, and I think it's the 5th one. But anyway, enough about Jurassic World, RTS, strategy games, and other stuff, city builders, even though they're all awesome. We've got the main topic we're going to talk about today, which is not the PlayStation 5. It's the Sony's next-gen console. Not the PS5.
Not PlayStation 5.
Probably the PlayStation. It will be the PlayStation.
Not officially, not yet.
PlayStation 5.
So we.
I hope it's not the PlayStation 5.
What do you mean?
I hope it's some awesome new name.
I hate it when they do that.
No, just
like PlayStation.
Go on.
play. What would you call it?
I'd call it the PlayStation 5.
I'd call it the PlayStation 5.
Oh, it was so just boring.
I was looking at, this is a little aside, but I was genuinely annoyed yesterday when I was looking at Nvidia's graphics cards on their site, right? Because I was looking at graphics cards and I was thinking, which one am I going to get next? There's the 2080 Ti, right?
Yeah.
The new ray tracing one. So it's called the 2080 Ti.
Yeah.
Easy. You've got the 2070, the 2060, you've got like the Titan models and stuff. They then have other levels of graphics cards, like the quad ones and the super souped up ones.
Oh, the quattro cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just having a look, just having a little perusal. They're all called completely different things. Like one's a P, one's a T, one's a N, one's a like all different numbers. And then they even have stats underneath them that aren't the same stats for each card. So you can't even compare.
No.
I was genuinely like, I have no idea which card is better than which card. I was just going by price. I was like, I guess that one's better, but
if you're gonna be gaming on it, then I wouldn't start looking at cards like that.
But no, just interested to see like how they work it all out. And I was like, why wouldn't they just call them like 1, 2, 3, 4? Yeah,
you think they would and follow some kind of series? But I don't know how they work out in terms of model numbers. But they're very
so
much
weird.
Targeted towards industries. Like a rendered PC. Which
if you've got four cards that are all the Quattro cards and they're all, I guess, all targeted at the same industry, I would have thought.
Yeah.
To then have weird like naming standards for across all of them, I was like, that'd do my head in. As an editor, if I had to decide which card to get and I wasn't going to get the gaming card, I'd have no goddamn idea.
Yeah, no, there's too many. There's too many at that level.
I'd do the standard thing and just spend the most money.
Yeah, that's expensive, so
it's gotta be the best.
Yeah.
And then you find out it's not the best at all. It's just expensive because it's got some weird thing with it. Yeah. But anyway, that's on with Bab. I think PlayStation 5 should be called the PlayStation 5
because it's simple numbering. I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
I was annoyed at the PS4 Pro.
The Vita isn't that a cool name, was it?
No, that wasn't.
You know what I mean?
What was the other one? The
PSP.
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 PlayStation Portable.
PSP.
Nice. But then the Vita. Quick. But then it went PSP, and then it went PS Vita.
Like, yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
No, why not PSP 2?
Yeah. The higher the number, the better the console.
The newer.
The higher the number, the more expensive the price. It just means better.
Yeah. Okay. Stick Pro on the end of it. It's all sorted.
No, Pro annoys me more than anything because it's not professional. It's not for professionals. Why have you put Pro on it?
Wow. Wow.
It's such a bullshit way to make people think it's better because I've got the professional one. What do you mean? There's no professionals out there getting it.
The PS5 Plus.
Yeah, like a Plus or
Performance.
0.1.
PS4P.
PS4.1. PS4.2. That's better.
PS4 Performance.
Performance maybe is better. It could be
a different word.
Slim was fine.
Letter.
Slim was completely, you knew what it was. Oh, it's the slim version of the original PlayStation 3. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, the PlayStation 2 Slim was actually proper slim.
It was actually
so slim it was almost a little bit, you know, shoddy workmanship.
Too slim.
Yeah, it was too slim.
PS2 too slim. Okay, anyway, so let's get on to some facts about what Sony been talking about. So the reason we're talking about this topic is because what is his name? I cannot even remember what his bloody name was.
Siri. Michael Cerny?
Mark Cerny. That was his
name.
Thank you very much.
Mark Cerny.
So Mark Cerny did an exclusive interview with Wired, and they were talking about Sony's next gen of consoles. Were not calling it the PlayStation 5. They were they were making sure they called it the next gen of the consoles. But they went into quite a bit of detail, actually, so we wanted to just sort of get around the table, have a chat, and see what we all thought about that. So a few things they went over. We'll run through a few interesting facts, and we're supposed to talk about them. So it's been 4 years in development, they've said, which is, you know, pretty standard. You'd be hoping they'd be working on it all the time. And they've said it is a revolution and not an evolution, which I thought was interesting.
Revolution, not evolution.
Not evolution.
I'm going to call bollocks on that right now.
Yes. Exact. First up, I'm like, that's bullshit. Yeah. I don't believe you can, in this day and age, have a revolutionary new console.
No way. What's
going to change?
There hasn't been a revolutionary one since like 2 to 3.
Yeah.
That was the last time where I was like, ooh, this looks amazing. Yeah. And 3 to 4, I was like, meh.
It's not that different. Yeah. 4 to Pro... Again, you're like, oh, 4K, wicked HDR, that looks really nice. Pro to 5 is going to probably be the smallest jump.
It's going to be nothing. It's going to be negligible.
Seen.
Yeah.
There will be, there's a lot of interesting stuff in the box, I think, which we'll talk about. And they did, they talked a lot about hardware because that's where the big changes are going to come along. But they're even using the architecture of the PlayStation 4. So it's not going to be that like that groundbreaking by any stretch. It's simply going to be when you play the games, there's going to be things like they're going to load faster, the graphics are going to be better, the game, they're going to be bigger games, they're going to be...
These are negligible improvements for me.
Mm. It's a it's kind of a tough sell, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're getting to the point where, like, yeah, the graphics aren't that important to me anyway as a gamer. And so, like, these negligible improvements are like, nah, I'd rather you have more complex and, you know, emergent storytelling and that sort of thing. That should be the focus. That's the only way you're going to get from, like, you know, revolution, not evolution. It's like games actually sort of respond to you in a meaningful way.
Like, you actually can have the outcome of the game that is legitimately and completely individual outcome based on your actions in the game.
So, like, Red Dead, for example, great game. But it felt like I was playing a movie. We all had the same experience. That world was quite heavily scripted to an extent. What I would love is Red Dead 3, for example, to be I play completely different styles. We end up with completely different storylines.
Yeah.
It adapts around me. But I don't think that's going to happen.
So was it not? What was it called? What No Man's Sky did with the what do you call it? Where the game
procedurally generated.
Yeah. So a procedurally generated world.
Procedurally generated story.
Yes.
Now that would be great.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Like the Telltale
games. Conversations that everyone could have about that one game.
Well, when you think, because when you talk about like deep learning and all this sort of AI tech that's coming online, I don't see why. I mean, that's probably going to be a thing in the future.
Yeah.
But I'm totally with you. If they're not talking about that, even if that could be a thing on the PlayStation 5, then that for me is the revolution. It's not the hardware, how quickly the game loads. It's how the immersion of the game, how it feels.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would, let's talk. So Red Dead, imagine you kill someone in Red Dead and that person is dead. Because I had a time was the same person popped up again, because obviously how does the game...
I killed the same bloke so many times.
Yeah. How does the game fix that?
Has anyone seen Gavin? You're dead, mate.
How does the game fix that? Because it can't, because it needs to get from here to there, and that guy has to come back because he's written into this story.
Like a butterfly effect inside gaming.
Yes. That is what I think
changes to that world will have a consequence, no matter how big or small.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be sick.
You do this over here, and it means that you never ever get to a mission over here in this world, because you killed Gavin, and that had ramifications.
And a massive knock-on effect. Yeah, and it sort of adapts on the fly to all your other decisions, and it's a completely unique experience.
Which is kind of, I suppose, insane, because then you need.
But even a branching, we're talking about procedurally generated storytelling, which would be, you know, we're probably years and years away from that.
Yeah.
But like even having a remotely branching story where my decisions matter early on, not just, okay, I played pure evil, you played pure good. What's the difference? You get a different cutscene at the end. That's not a different story. Fundamentally, we both played the same story, and you just basically flipped a coin at the end and gone, okay, it's different.
Like good or bad endings.
Yeah. Like have branches throughout, though, like not just six different endings. Like, okay, you made a decision early on that cut out half this branch and that sort of thing. Even that would be quite a step forward for me.
It's funny because they see it as a problem, and they say, like, you could have an infinite number of endings, but you kind of can't, because in real life, you have limitations to what you can do.
Yeah.
So if you had things like permadeath, in games like Red Dead, but you could go back and you could load an earlier save, for example. But you've started on a journey where you were too evil,
yes,
and you had too many people after you, and it is inevitable that you're going to get killed because you know you can't possibly continue on that strategy. Maybe it takes you back in time to a position where
a little bit like Netflix Bandersnatch, almost a little bit. Like, you've gone down a path that has no resolution.
Yes.
And so the game will say, look, mate, you've cocked up here.
Yeah.
You need to go back to this is the last point that you could have made a decision that would have changed your fate.
Yeah. So it doesn't need to know every possible outcome. All it needs to know is you have created too many enemies. There is no possible way for you to win this.
Yeah.
Do you want to go back to this point when you made this decision? I mean, I suppose it's a long way off, but we're getting there.
But then that's just still a predetermined story arc anyway.
No, it's not.
A branching story like that. I mean, when was the last, like, you know, the Telltale games ostensibly were meant to have, like, very different stories, but ultimately they all boiled down to 50-50 decision at the end.
Yes.
So we all had relatively similar experiences. In fact, I'd say very similar experiences.
Yeah.
What I would like, though, is if we played, even with a branching story, we could have all made decisions that meant we've got completely different experiences. That's what I would like in the next generation.
Yeah, no, me too, absolutely. I think limitation maybe is the key to it, as opposed to freedom, because...
I'd rather play a shorter game that had more choices
yeah.
than an 80-hour thing where we've all had the same experience. Yeah. Whatever.
I think the Stanley Parable would be a good example, right? Because in the Stanley Parable, there's obviously shitloads of endings that you could finish that game with. But actually what it did that was quite clever was when you're walking down a corridor, right, you can only interact with the world in certain ways. You cannot go anywhere else at some point except for door one or door two, because there's no, like, you can't walk through the wall. But problem with open world games, trying to, like Red Dead, and trying to be, you know, procedurally generated, or trying to have completely branching storylines, is there's too many things you can do. But maybe it will become with games that are more linear, you know, more traditional games, where you're walking down a corridor, maybe that's the way to do it, is to be limiting in some respects, so people can only go. You can have a freaking door that locks and you don't have a key card. You can't get back through the door.
Yeah, fine. You've closed off an area. That's fine.
And then the game doesn't have to remember everything you did before that to figure out these branching lines, because now you're at a new point where the game can figure out, okay, from this point, what are your options?
Exactly.
But I'd love to see what a game like that.
I think that's the only way we're going to get that a proper next gen, is like the richness of those games rather than just how they look.
But so one of the things they did say, which I do think is a little bit of an interesting thing for the PlayStation 5, or what, you know, oh, I'm just going to call it PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Next gen one. That isn't hardware based is the fact that they've said that it's going to have the GPU is going to be ray tracing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a big thing, given that it's the only console so far to have said that it's going to have this capability. We went to an NVIDIA event last year where they were talking about their new RTX cards and the fact that they can do ray tracing, and we've seen it in a couple of games. So Metro Exodus, we've seen ray tracing in, and Battlefield 5, we saw ray tracing in, and it is amazing. Mm. Like, the fact that you kind of don't notice it, because they manage to cover up some of the stuff these days, and you have a bitmap in a window that's a reflection of a building. You destroy the building, you don't realize the bitmap's still in the window. But the ray tracing allows you to actually have a real reflection. And they have said that one of the things ray tracing is going to allow them to do is be much more immersive with things like audio as well.
Okay.
Because it knows you would hear this, because it can trace a ray from that point which to that guy, so that would that sound would echo around that corner and come here. Or light, you know, would bounce in through this window, bounce in a certain way.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get much more dynamic environments, I suppose. But that, to me, is maybe the biggest thing that they said that I think is interesting.
The biggest thing with that, though, is that's already been announced for... Oh, we've already got that in RTX cards on a desktop.
Yes.
But it's still going to come down to the developers making those games ray tracing compatible.
Absolutely.
The developers are going to want to put in that extra development time. They're not already...
Were they not, do you think, if they're making games for PC already, so those PC developers are going to incorporate it because they will be for PC, or do you think that's something they won't necessarily bother
with? The Sony exclusive guys might, because they're building that for the PS5 exclusively.
But I mean, the people that are building games for PC as well, if they know that it will work in PlayStation and on a PC, so they're going to put that extra time.
Do you think they'll
in?
Make an extra time, extra effort anyway?
Possibly, I think.
I think it all comes down, it will definitely all come down to how many people will have a PS5. Because I think reason they're not really doing it at the moment, because RTX cards are hugely expensive, especially if you want a 2080
Ti. And they've only just dropped, right? They've only just come out.
Pretty much in the last few months.
Yeah.
So it's not really worth the effort, because there's only a very small audience that have actually invested in that architecture early.
Yeah.
So, which is only why we've got two games out of every game released since RTX was announced.
It does look phenomenal.
It looks at when we first got our PC here and we played Battlefield ray tracing, that was the first time I'd experienced ray tracing, and then it's just like breathtaking the effects that it can produce. But it's just still a very expensive technology to invest in,
which is one of the reasons why it's kind of baffling that they can put it into a... So, I mean, you look at the 2080 that we've got, I think it's about £1,000, I think it retails for around that.
Yes.
When you look at a console, which you've got to assume is going to drop at, like, what, 300, 350 quid max?
Yeah.
How'd they get a graphics card? Is it an AMD graphics card, I believe?
In a PlayStation. Yeah, PlayStation uses AMD.
Have it ray tracing and still keep that price point.
Charge it, yeah.
That's kind of amazing.
I think it's amazing, but then I don't
think they're going to fake it. Do you think it won't be real ray tracing?
No, I don't think.
I don't see how they could, given what they've said.
I don't think they could fake it. Radeon, by the graphics card standards anyway, are generally cheaper graphics cards, which is why I think consoles go with Radeon cards rather than Nvidia tech. But just in terms of the quality of the ray tracing, no, I don't think it will be as good as having an RTX 2080 in a gaming PC.
Right.
just as the same as the PS4 game 4K won't look anywhere near as good as PC 4K.
No.
Because it's still limited and compressed by the GPU, or limited by the GPU in the PS4. So I think that's where they can save costs.
But at least we can get that immersive world.
Yeah.
We can get the benefits of ray tracing without necessarily having all the benefits you'd have of a really high-end PC with a ray tracing graphics card.
I think it'll definitely still make a difference. Definitely.
At a reasonable price, that's the key.
At a reasonable price. Well, which is why I think consoles now are overtaking PC gaming. It's because prices are coming down all the time.
Not for strategy games.
Not for strategy. Never.
Well, have you ever tried to make a strategy game with a control pad?
Yeah, I used to play Red Alert on the PlayStation.
I remember my cousin having the first Command & Conquer on his played that PlayStation. I had it on PC with a mouse and keyboard. Yeah. And it was
night and day. But you don't know unless my first entry into strategy games was on a PlayStation. So I was completely normalized.
Right. So you were used to that, and then you get to a PC and just like,
start playing a first-person shooter. Like, I can't play a first-person shooter now using the controller, because it's like, this is so agonizingly slow. Yeah.
Going from PC first-person shooters to PlayStation was horrendous. I was just like, how do you use a stick to point and shoot someone in the face? I genuinely
so slow.
That's why we came second on that Battlefield game.
Big time.
I panicked. We were on a console.
I only play first-person shooters now on console, and I've been trying to get better over the years, but I swear that I've ruined myself through all my experience of playing them on mouse and keyboard, because I used to play them when I was a kid, like, all on there, and that seemed natural. And having them, you know, roll the middle mouse button to zoom in and stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you switch to controller, it just never quite felt as good.
A mouse is like moving your eyes to look at something, whereas a controller is like moving your head. It's just extra time that you don't need.
You don't need it. It's true. You don't need it. One other thing to so we said briefly about ray tracing with how it might affect things like audio as well. One thing they've also said is their ability to create 3D audio, because they reckon they've really ramped up in this this generational leap, as opposed to what the PlayStation 4 had. And they've said that they think that the level of immersion will be on par with something like VR, so whereby you turn your head and things sound.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't really thought of, because I think generally the audio is pretty good.
I think that's one of the best things that they've suggested about the new PlayStation is sound.
I didn't really think about it, but then now they've said it, I'm like, that it actually sounds like it might be amazing.
But will I need like a top end audio setup to appreciate
it? Well, this is the thing
apparently,
as well.
Well, apparently not. They reckon the best example would be on headphones that can handle it.
Because, like, I'll be honest with you, like, 9 times out of 10, I'm just got my PlayStation plugged into my telly, and that's it.
They did say like a soundbar or a virtual surround will be really good, but headphones will be the pinnacle.
Headphones will be the pinnacle.
So, like, those, I guess, the, you know, surround sound headphones that they do. But I find that anyway already. Like, headphones are
better.
Very good. Good headphones are very good.
But sometimes it's annoying wearing them for a long period.
But obviously I've got a surround sound system at home, which is pretty wicked as well. So.
Of course, yes.
So you need to upgrade to Atmos.
Yeah, maybe.
Get an Atmos system for the PlayStation. I think that's the most exciting, because the sound drivers in a PS4 at the moment, I can't remember the technology behind it, but it's only, I believe, 2.1, something like that. So
really?
It handles stereo sound. Maybe 5.1 for
that is
media
filth,
playback.
If it's...
But games are generally 2.1. Most people play games in their headphones, so they're not going to develop it.
That is utter filth if games are 2.1.
Also, just saying, the most exciting thing about the new console is the audio. That is
that for me. Yeah. I can pick holes in this list. I can pick a lot of holes in a lot of this,
I think,
which is a shame, I think.
But like, you know what I mean, though? Like, imagine being a kid and thinking, I can't wait for the new PlayStation to come out,
because
the sound is going to be incredible.
That's my nerdiness coming out.
I don't think it's the nerdiness. I just think it's a representative of what's on offer.
I kind of want to give them a little bit of a pass in this. Although I did say that I don't think it's anywhere near like revolutionary, I do think when you put all the things together they've announced, it definitely sounds interesting. So let me quickly touch on a few others, and then we can talk about the whole thing in its entirety. So what they've also said is it's going to ship with an SSD, which they never have before, which is going to massively push up the read speed of the the games, which mean that things like world loading times are going to be much, much faster.
Close to instant, yeah.
They've also said, which I hadn't really thought of, but apparently in the interview, which I thought was interesting, they booted up Spider-Man and they said that when he is swinging through the streets of Manhattan, when he's completely maxed out and he's like the fastest he can go, they couldn't really make him go any faster anyway because the load time for the world was too slow.
Right.
So he's kind of maxed out in the sense of...
He's limited technically yeah, because of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, I guess that that's where they decide the limit of his swing speed. Yeah. But they said that with the SSDs in the new system, he could go like supersonic speed flying through that world and everything would load crisp.
Okay.
Like no pop-in, it would look great.
Okay.
So which I thought
that's nice, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is something that I've never really thought yeah. of, which maybe game devs can then look at and say, now we can do things that we haven't been able to do before.
Yeah.
Which is that's bloody cool. They also said, so I didn't really get how this is true, but they said the SSD, the raw bandwidth of the SSD that it's going to launch with will be faster than any PC SSD that's currently available.
That can't happen.
I don't understand how that's possible.
That can't be possible.
Like, unless they're talking, that's their intention, but how could that, unless they're being, the wording is very specific possibly, and there's an element of it which is, I don't know, I mean, I don't know enough maybe about SSDs and the bandwidth of them, but...
Well... I can't remember if I've read this anywhere, but if they've got something like one of the Optane cards,
which they haven't said who supplied them yet, who are supplying them for the system.
So if you've got an SSD and then an Optane card in a PC, not that you would really need it, the Optane card would cache information that's regularly used
right.
from a hard drive or an SSD. Mm-hmm. So if you play one game constantly, it will remember that. So if it's got that kind of setup on a PlayStation, then I could see it being fast.
Yeah.
But to take over the spec of a PC, I think is a bit of a stretch.
I thought maybe I read it wrong. I didn't understand what they were trying to say. But that is what the article said.
Hmm.
Which is definitely, yeah, again, like, for, talk about price
claim.
Point.
Yeah.
Talk about price point, talk about hardware. I will be baffled.
A price
out.
Point, maybe. Because an Octane and an SSD... is going to be an expensive purchase for a PC. So,
but then if it ships with this, like how do they get it for £350? How
that's mental. Bolt buy. A massive loss.
Yeah, which they did with the PlayStation 3. Of course, yeah. When it launched, they made a loss on every unit sold until they got to like, I can't remember how many units they had to sell before they started making any money on it.
Well, you know they're going to sell them.
Oh, for
they're
sure.
They're definitely going to sell.
Well, so one example of load times they gave, which I thought was good, was in Spider-Man, they said they did a fast travel from one point to another, and the load time, specifically because the car, they had to read the information from the HDD,
mm-hmm.
It was 15 seconds to fast travel. And then on the new system, with the dev kit, it was 0.8. So they said it's about 19 times faster.
Very fast, yeah.
Which is mental.
Yeah.
And if that, if you know, if we can have... I suppose, again, devs can use that sort of tech to do loads of stuff. I mean, if you don't ever have to worry about load time and you can have things from any part of the game...
Be nice. You know, yeah, that'd be decent.
I suppose what you don't want is doors that take forever to load to go through and stuff if you want to have a lot of stuff going on. I guess that's one of the problems of games like The Division 2. If you wanted to have an actual interior to every building in that world, the problem is you'd have to load all that information.
Mental, yeah.
It'd be horrendous. But maybe if you've got kit like this that can really load everything and can do it, you could have a completely interactive world with every doors openable, every room you can go in. I mean, that would be,
imagine a GTA
because there's no loading
time
in between,
because the world is, if you think about a world like Division 2, right, the actual world is pretty simplistic because you've only got the streets, the buildings block out everything in between,
yeah.
And you've only got a few buildings you can go through,
yeah.
If you don't have to worry about load times and you can put all that stuff, all that information on the card, or you can even have procedurally generated rooms,
yeah.
For example, you'd never have to worry about loading. You just go through.
Wouldn't it be great if all the buildings were also destructible? That'd be great. Imagine
in
that.
An open world game.
Every
the world will be gone.
Yeah.
In not even a week. Can you imagine?
That'd be so good.
Division
though.
2, everyone's on the same map at the same time destroying buildings. That world would be gone. Everything would just be flat.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that then you go for we're talking about limitations. I like the idea that you then go for the realism of like an actual, how much damage would an actual grenade do to a brick building, and you're like, it actually wouldn't even blow the wall out, it would just damage it, and if five people grenade it, then the wall falls down.
Wouldn't it be good if someone took cover around a corner and you just started chipping away at the corner until you could actually hit them?
Yes.
Now that would be
sick.
Yeah, like the idea that I know Mythbusters did it, where you know you shoot through a floor in a film and then the floor falls through.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually tried it with a machine gun, and it was like it took forever.
Yeah,
because you can't, you don't have enough bullets to shoot
to actually do it.
And so you're in the Division, and you're trying to shoot through the floor, and actually it takes you half an hour and 3,000 rounds to get through the floor. I think that'd be brilliant.
But that'd be great if they could implement that sort of stuff.
Rather than the, like the, was it Red Faction sort yeah. of buildings where they're basically Meccano that just falls down.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I fucking hate.
Yeah, but it would.
But that was cool when it first came out, though.
No, it
and
wasn't.
Then it was on the play. It was on the PS2, the original Red
Faction. The original Red Faction was much better.
You could just sort of tunnel into games.
That was much better. When you could use a rocket to blow the like the
yes.
world up and then go round a door. I thought that was wicked. But in when they did Gorilla and you could go and blow the Meccano buildings down, I was like, this is shit.
Taking it too far. You
fire one rocket and everything.
Everything tumbles.
Just,
yeah. That was too yeah. much. That was too much. So a few other things with the PlayStation 5. They've also said it's going to be 8K. But then again,
well, this is the big thing for me.
Go on.
Is actually let's do the two things at once. The SSD is going to have to be absolutely massive to fit the games on there.
Yes.
It cannot
yes.
be a small SSD.
And at the moment they are. And I mean, hybrid drives are so common because SSDs are so goddamn expensive.
Yeah.
But how are they going to? They can't have anything less than a terabyte.
No.
So you're talking probably no. 2 terabyte SSD.
And even with
the
minimum. Yeah, 2 terabytes. What's that? 20 games on there?
Yeah.
Well, so Red Dead was like a 100 gig game.
Yeah. yeah.
That's this generation.
GTA something yeah. crazy like 110 maybe. Maybe
so,
even more.
So
now
you're talking about 8K. How is
and
this
now,
possible?
Yeah, and now that's, yes, and now that's 8K.
So how is this possible?
That's a lot more information on one game.
Yeah.
Bigger games, bigger worlds. They're on SSDs. So they can do more stuff.
Yeah.
So, a 2 terabyte SSD would cost you a fortune.
Yeah.
How are they having ray tracing graphics?
8K resolution.
8K resolution. A giant 2 terabyte at least SSD.
Yeah.
What else have we even talked about? So a new CPU.
Just taking a 3K loss on every yeah. unit sold.
yeah.
It's going to have to be $5,000 a pop.
Yeah.
Unless they're building several million PlayStations to be able to get a decent enough bulk price on all of these parts from manufacturers.
So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the reason PC components are so expensive is they know they won't sell that many, but PlayStation or Sony don't have that problem because they know they'll sell masses of them
yeah.
as long as they're 400 quid, 350 quid. But then you've got the other thing of... So they've also said that it's going to be backwards compatible because it's built on the architecture of the PlayStation 4. So you will be able to play PlayStation 4 games on it.
Good.
Which is wicked.
Good, yeah.
But there is the thing that it's not coming out this year either. They've already said that it's not a 2019 launch.
What's the ETA?
They haven't said, but I reckon it's got to be 2020, right?
Next year.
It's got to be next year.
It's got to be, I think.
It has to be. If it's not 2019, it has to be 2020.
To beat Xbox to the punch.
And they've also said about the fact that games will, like Death Stranding, will launch with that PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5 crossover.
Oh, the dual, yeah.
So they've effectively said, I suppose, like they've alluded to like GTA 5, where you get one for the PlayStation 4 and you'll get one for PlayStation 5. But we've said before, I don't think they'll do that. I think a game will come out, given the fact they're backwards compatible, I think a game will come out that you can play on the 5 and the 4, but there'll be two versions of the game.
Yes.
On one disc or on one download.
On one download.
Because otherwise, you're going to have to go and buy two versions of the game again. But why would you when they're so close?
I think the game, like it does at the moment, when it detects if you're on a PlayStation or PS4 Pro.
Absolutely.
It will do that with a PS4 and a PS5.
Yeah. I can't see them not doing
that. Oh, output this at 8K. One thing I was going to say, going back to the 8K.
8K TV, yeah.
Before coming on this podcast, because I knew we were talking about this, I went on Currys, which is the electrical retailer for our non-UK audiences. It's an electrical retailer here in the UK. The cheapest 8K TV on there was £7,000.
Lovely.
For a 65-inch, I think it was Samsung, 8K yeah. TV was £7,000.
Have you seen 8K in real size?
Yes.
As in, like, well, when they actually lay it all out, like the actual size of the display. It is insane. So, because an actual HD TV, right? So
yeah, yeah.
When you lay out all the pixels and the actual size of the TV, let's say it's about that big, right? Yeah. Just for argument's sake. So that's...
So for audio listeners, he's just making a gesture with his hands.
Let's say what? 2.5 feet
yeah.
across
yeah.
is like an HD, as in if you display a full, like, pixels across, deep, or pixels per inch, whatever the hell you call it. So then you've got 4 times that is 4K, mm-hmm. which is epic for a television that no one owns a TV that big anyway.
Yeah.
8K is then double that, right?
Yeah.
As in it's double the width.
Double, yeah.
So it would be 4 times the height of HD.
It wouldn't be double the width. It would be...
Or 4K.
Oh, or 4K. Sorry, yeah. I thought you meant from 1080.
No, sorry. So 8K is 4 1080 screens across
yeah.
and 4 1080 screens high.
Yes.
So you're now talking about a 16-foot display.
Massive.
No, that's 4K. 8K would be 8.
No, no, so
eight.
4K is 4,000 lines high, so it's double the height.
Four. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, yeah.
Three men.
It's 1920 high.
Yes. And yeah,
so
yeah,
double
yeah.
The height.
Maths.
So a 1080p display height. Because 4K, annoyingly for people, so a 1080 display is actually 1920 by 1080.
Yeah.
So it's... Oh, no, hold on. I'm bloody wrong, aren't I? Because it's 4,000 lines. So it's 1,000 lines in HD.
Yeah.
I'm getting it backwards. Yeah. I apologize. So it's four HD displays high.
Yes.
Which is 4,000 lines. Yeah. No, it isn't.
There was eight.
Please, please.
4K is 3840 by 2160.
I was right the first time, but I'm just explaining myself really badly. A 4K display is the same as four HD displays put together.
Yes.
Because what they actually do is, this is the cheat, it's 21, whatever, it's double 1080 high and it's 4,000 wide.
Yeah.
So they switch it, which is a bit filth, because you know, 1080 to 4K is not the same measurement. They're going the other way around.
Yeah.
8K would be...
four more 1080p TVs.
Yes.
So it'd be...
It's a lot. So it'd be... You all disagree, it's a lot.
I don't even know.
It's a lot.
But you end up with getting to this ridiculous... Where you... And then squashing it all down into a 50-inch, 65-inch
TV. 65
is the smallest
that I've
seen.
There's no fucking point. Or that the density of those, of the... If you could, of the pixels, would be completely irrelevant.
In a standard-sized living room, you will not see the difference between 4K and 8K.
I apologise for that insane discussion about lines. But this is what I was trying to get at. You're absolutely right. There would be no point in having an 8K.
If you've got 100K, 100-inch TV, 120-inch TV in your lounge, fair enough, you might see it. Even, it was quite interesting. I went to IFA last year, which is an electronics convention in Berlin. And Samsung were one of the first to demonstrate an 8K TV. We turned up and we said, "Oh yeah, let's look at this 8K TV. Oh, could you show us some 8K, please?" "Oh well, we haven't got anything 8K. What are you showing in?" "Oh, it's upscaled."
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. So it's almost strange that people are going to have to upgrade to these 8K TVs purely for the PlayStation.
It's not going to happen.
People aren't going to broadcast in 8K. People were barely broadcasting in 4K.
Yeah.
So I did. I got a 4K TV because I got a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah.
There is no goddamn way that I would get... And for HDR as well. There's no way that I would get an 8K TV because I don't think I would see anything.
No.
To me, the only reason to have 8K displays, 4K display, or not even displays, the only reason to film anything or make anything in 4K, 8K, etc., is so that you've got the capacity to digitally zoom in.
Yeah.
And then have really high fidelity even when you've punched in really far.
Zoom and enhance.
Yeah. I mean, we do that when we make videos, obviously. We record in 4K so that we've got the ability to punch in when we export in HD. There's no reason to output to 4K. Even at the moment, I'd say, because so few people have 4K TVs. But so I think, we kind of got a bit sidetracked. But I think all in all, I'm very excited about the next generation of consoles in general. However, all of the stuff they've said is very hardware-based. It's very much like trying to get people excited for things like audio, SSDs that can load games faster, ray tracing. It does seem like...
It's a hard sell.
It is a hard sell. For me, it's kind of a hard sell. I'm going to definitely agree. One of the things
that people will buy it.
People,
because it's PlayStation.
And I will be one of them. Of course I will be one of them.
Oh, it's PlayStation
Early
5.
Early adopter, yeah?
Oh, I'll get one like straight away as soon as it comes out. Of course I will.
First in line? Would you camp? Would you camp
overnight?
No,
I'm not a camper. I've only camped for one thing ever, and that was for the iPhone 3, maybe.
Were you working here when you did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember.
Yeah. That's the only reason I did it as well, because I work in London. I was like, sorry, I'm going to go down and camp for it.
I remember that.
That just indicates
how long I've been here.
That sounds like the biggest waste of time for me. Camping for an iPhone.
To be fair, it was a little bit pointless. And then realised at the end that like nearly 95% of the queue were people who were there with cash to buy two of them to then give that Mr. Big had given them the money for, so they could go and sell abroad for more money. And after about 5 hours of queuing, they figured out this was the case, the Apple people, and they came along the queue and were asking if anyone was buying a contract phone.
Yeah.
Anyone actually want a contract?
Yeah.
And me and the guys with were like, we just got pushed like in front of about 500 people because they were, oh, come this way. And we went on our own way and walked past hundreds of people to go and actually get the phone so that we could use it.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me a bit, kind of put me off the whole thing a bit. But I love the phone. It was good, so there we go. One of the things I had, they did sort of touched on briefly was the cloud gaming. Because, so the Xbox One S all digital, dubbed the SAD, because of the
lovely.
It's not going to have a drive in it. It's not going to have an optical drive to read media.
Yeah.
PlayStation will, they've said it will have a drive to read, so it's going to be discs and downloads, much as the PlayStation 4 is. But they did touch on cloud, sort of cloud gaming and streaming and things, because they, when asked the question, Cerny did say they are pioneers in the area, and we will have a lot more. We'll have a lot more information as things go on and as things come out, which I did think was interesting, because PlayStation Now, I'm assuming he's talking about,
is naff. Doesn't really work, does it?
And I wouldn't necessarily say it's pioneering. Maybe they were early in.
Yeah.
But Google, like Stadia and things, do seem to be a lot more cutting edge with regard to that. So I do wonder if, although it's going to still have discs and things that you can put in, I do wonder if they're going to maybe up their game when it comes to PlayStation Now and what they're going
to
offer.
I think they're going to have to, because you've got things like Stadia coming out with their service. You've got these companies like Shadow that we looked at before with virtual computers now that you can log in on your phone and play your Steam library. Xbox had Project Stream or Project Xtreme or something like that a little while ago. So they're investing into cloud gaming in a big way. So I think Sony, even though they may not have any kind of subscription services in a big way like Stadia, I still think they will need to implement something with the PS5 just to stay relevant.
I agree, yeah, massively so.
Because these people... It's clearly going in that direction. Mobile phones now are getting a lot faster. People are kind of gearing up to take on cloud gaming.
Mm.
Then I think Sony would definitely miss a trick if they just say to their audience, oh no, we're a traditional games console company.
Yeah, they'd be dead in the water for the next generation, basically.
Yeah. Xbox will take over.
Yeah, they'll be done.
But it's an interesting question though, right? Because they're investing incredibly heavily in hardware.
Yeah.
Games as a service or streaming, you know, Netflix for gamers, a lot of people have talked about things like Stadia, things like the Xbox offering. None of that requires local hardware.
No.
All of that is processed externally and then shipped, and then you literally get the visual information piped back to you, right?
Yes.
So it kind of makes me wonder, like, they've gone so hardcore on, like we said, the SSD tech, the ray tracing graphics cards, all of this stuff that they're going to be doing locally. Don't they kind of shoot themselves in the foot by creating such a meaty hardware box if they then turn around and offer something like PlayStation Now, where you can play all games as a streaming service? Because you don't then need the box. You've effectively just said, here's this amazing bit of kit that we're losing money on, and we need to sell hundreds of millions of units just to wash our own face. By the way, you don't even need it. You can log into our Now service and pay £30 a month.
But then I think they're quite cheeky with that at the moment, because they're not offering your God of Wars, your Red Dead Redemption 2.
They can't offer them in the future because of that very fact, right? Because they need you to buy the box. They need you to
work. Well, yeah, this is the thing. They'd entice people to buy a PlayStation 5 because Death Stranding will be on the... exclusive on the PlayStation 5, and it won't be on PS Now, so people will have to invest in a console that particular game,
because otherwise you'd wonder, like, surely you could just get the PlayStation Now subscription and on a smart TV and buy a PlayStation job controller done. Job done. You never need to touch the PlayStation 5, and you've got this amazing kit all sitting somewhere in a
but surely they're going to have to offer that at some point though in the future, otherwise they're going to fall behind.
I think they may be in trouble a little bit.
Do you think this is a tactical mistake?
I kind of think it might be. Because if it does all move in the way that, you know, I think it will, and it does go cloud-based, it does go stream it through your TV, stream it through your phone, and all you need is a controller.
I think we're not quite there yet, though. I feel like...
You're right.
I feel like this is the transition console.
Is this the death of PlayStation? That's what I'm asking.
There you go, that's the title. That's the title, Steph.
Have they fucked themselves royally by doing this?
But then I think it's playing safe.
I definitely think it's playing safe.
I think if you go the other way, it's too early, and then you're gonna be dead in the water for like 2-3 years before the technology and the access catches up.
Yeah, possibly. I think it's interesting that I don't know when Stadia.
Like, not everyone has access to a proper high speed internet.
But no. Sometimes 5G as soon as that drops. Was it 100 gigabit a second or something ridiculous?
Mental speeds over your phone. That'd be perfect.
But when is that going to come in?
Well, it's starting to be implemented at the moment, but we're talking about this being launched in 2020, right? The PlayStation 5. Stadia, I want to say, is like 2021. I'm not actually sure. I can't remember what the date
I can't remember when they released it.
Actually, maybe
it can't be that far off.
So then if you're talking about, we're talking about a couple of years before this console comes out anyway.
Well, in that case then, it's almost like you're saying, don't even bother releasing this and wait a year. Just hold on with the PlayStation 4.
And especially if there's a lot of crossover games and it's backwards compatible. But I suppose the kicker is, if they can launch this at a reasonable price point, like I think you said, everyone's going to buy one anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's a PlayStation 5. And you can play Death Stranding and you can play all the exclusives.
But if I can play all those things on the PS4 Pro... my TV is.
That's the other thing. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Why would you bother?
Why would you bother?
Oh, yeah. Death of PlayStation 5.
You know, I mean, I feel like it's. Yeah, I've just talked myself out of my main argument. It is playing. It's a playing safe move. But is it a necessary move?
I wonder if it's playing safe because if they put they've put 4 years into this, they're putting a lot of money. They're gonna put a lot of hardware into all of these systems. They're gonna have them all ready to ship. And then no one's going to buy one because they're like, actually, I've got my PlayStation 4 now has PlayStation Now is now this ludicrously good offering that does everything anyway.
It's a gamble, though, isn't it? Like if they gamble on 5G and all those speeds coming in and being widely adopted really fast, then yeah, PlayStation 5 is irrelevant as a hardware.
Surely they have to
hardware.
Gamble on. They're gambling on exclusives, right? That's basically what they're doing. They're absolutely gambling on exclusives.
Yeah,
that lineup. No, but then you even said it. If you can play them across,
well, yeah, it's like when you were saying like, oh, you know, Death Stranding will be on
both.
On both, then why the hell would I buy a PS5?
Well, they have to stay relevant. Xbox are definitely going to release another console.
So what we've said is PlayStation
the
now,
Xbox 2.
They will. Yeah,
will definitely come out.
Xbox 720.
But so PlayStation,
that would have been such a sick name.
So what we're really saying is, for the next 5 years or so, there's no way PlayStation Now can offer new PlayStation exclusive titles because it would put everyone off buying a PlayStation 5.
Yes.
Well, so what we're saying, how long is the PlayStation 5 going to be relevant? Like, as the main
drops next year.
Yeah.
They've got maybe 4 years before they have to do cloud based.
So we're saying 2024, people won't have gone cloud based. Within that period,
so my argument has always been
a long time.
I think people will be definitely moving into cloud based by 2021, 2022.
I agree. I think my argument was by 2022 or 2023. I think they'll have the majority of the market. So I think this could be a massive misstep.
If they can do it,
we're saying it's got a window though. We're saying
two or three years, but they never make their money in the first two or three years, right? It takes them a long time to get traction with the market. I mean, just look at how PlayStation 4, 3, 2, they've all sold. They sell a lot of units early on, but they don't make much money early on.
Unless they can, if they can get away of streaming from your PlayStation. You know, you guys got the ability to log in on apps or on the browser. You can turn on your PlayStation to run updates. What if you did that and streamed it directly from your PlayStation through your home broadband and then through 5G, 4G, whatever you've got?
That is very interesting.
Then it still gives
your PlayStation you 5 is your own cloud-based gaming system.
So you can stream your Death Strandings and your decent exclusives, but you have to stream it from your PlayStation rather than the cloud PlayStation servers.
That's very interesting.
So you do it that way instead. Because then that gets around.
It does, totally gets around.
Getting away with not buying a PlayStation.
And you need the hardware because that's doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting idea.
So your hardware's the ray tracing GPU, decent GPU. It's the fast SSD for loading speeds because you need that.
Yeah. Your PC, your PlayStation 5's always on. It's always there being, you know, you don't have to ever worry. You never shut it off. It just sits there humming away. Mm-hmm. And you can play it on your phone. You can play it on your TV. You can play it on your iPad. You can do whatever you want, wherever you want. And they don't have to worry about building the infrastructure.
No, because you've got it.
And also, they've got. I suppose you pay for your subscription, right, to the gaming service, but you've already just given them £350, £400 for a bit of kit. Actually, could be really fucking smart.
And then you have to buy the streaming subscription on top of your PlayStation Access or whatever.
PS5's alive again.
I think what this little 10-minute conversation indicates is we haven't got a clue.
I think Mark Cerny needs to give me a call. I think I've just solved all their problems.
I think that's a really interesting idea, actually. I genuinely think that could be what maybe how they go
That could work, because you can stream at the moment from Steam. You can use Steam Big Picture and stream from Steam to different... I don't think it's over the cloud yet. It's just in the home.
You've also kind of solved the issue that you then don't have to have insane levels of bandwidth coming from one place because it's all going through different ISPs, different people's houses, homes, wherever you are in the world. actually, that's yeah. that is a very, very interesting prospect.
You would just use it as you would like a NAS drive in your house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But a wireless cloud streaming service you can use wherever you go.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Steph has just sold Sony.
Just save just, Sony. Just
have we Sony's saved problems? Sony? Question mark.
All right, let's say Sony. We've got on.
Before we move on, I just want to clarify the information I gave about the sound earlier was slightly incorrect. It does, the PS4 does 5.1 audio DTS audio format, so
right.
digital sound. The PS5 is now working on the Dolby Atmos.
Right,
more atmospheric kind of sound stuff. So I just wanted to clarify that before people start jumping on me in the comments, if they get this far.
Thank you for clarifying, Steph.
Thank you, Steph.
So yeah, okay. I think that's pretty much us done on that. Time for a few comments. I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a couple, but before we get to that, I will just reiterate that if you do want to reach out to us, if you want to talk to us, you can reach us on Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV and on Facebook at All Time Gaming Official. Of course, we're also on YouTube, which is where you'll be watching this. But this podcast is also available in audio on all your favorite podcasting platforms. So do make sure you, yeah.
And don't forget to use the hashtag AskTheATG as well, please.
Yes, if you have any
so
questions.
So I can find your comments easy.
Or comments, absolutely, use the hashtag. A couple of comments to go through. I got a few this week. We'll just breeze through them because we've already been talking for a very long time.
Lovely.
About, you know, shit that we don't really know about. As Yuri said, just making stuff up. So the first comment comes from Richard Rosales, and he says, ATG, I don't know if you use YouTube comments for... Oh, sorry about that bit. He says, if you had a chance to make a video game, what genre, what mechanics would be in it, and how would the story play out with the genre and the mechanics?
Easy.
A meaty question.
Absolutely
easy. Okay, well, you're going to be.
Okay.
Spreadsheets.
Yeah. You take the character and dynastic elements from Crusader Kings 2 and the rich diplomacy that results in, and you combine it with a fantasy setting, and then you have the total war mechanics of the strategy and the strategic map. So you've got all of those elements combined into one meaty game, and that would be insane.
That would be sick.
That would be great.
I would play that all the time.
Or think of this, Stellaris, yeah, but where you actually fight the space battles like Homeworld.
Oh.
And when you invade the planet, you have to actually do the invasion yourself. So you have to fight the invasion thing yourself. That would be great. There you go. Please make it.
It's not even that hard.
It's basically you take Stellaris, combine it with Homeworld, and throw in a little bit of StarCraft. Job done.
What a massively underappreciated, fucking awesome game Homeworld was.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Such a good game. Blew my mind.
Remastered is really good as well.
Blew my mind when I first played that. I genuinely
It's still difficult now because of the third plane you have to fight
in. One of the things that I always was blown away was that game was the fact that, oh God, it's 3D.
Yeah, it's proper 3D.
And we're rotated at funny orientations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did Star Trek never have that problem?
Yeah, exactly.
Why were two ships met when they always level? Yeah.
It's always this.
Why were they never like? Yeah, anyway. Great answer.
Job done.
I like it. Steph?
I would like to see, if a new game, something like, let's take Anno that I've been playing a lot. The busy work would turn into something like Skyrim, so I'd have to physically go down as a character within that world.
I'm on board, and then
do villager quests that way. Even if they turn into basic fetch quests or go and arrest this guy, you would do the quest yourself rather than just click.
So you basically want to have Anno with Skyrim elements, but you can flip that around and be like, you're managing Skyrim.
Yeah,
and effectively, like, every now and then you go into the world.
Yeah, and then when
I love that
when you get on a ship, because there's a lot of focus on naval combat, it would turn into Sea of Thieves.
Okay, you're just creating like this hub game that combines all the games you like.
Yeah,
okay,
pretty much. That'd be awesome.
Decent.
Ambitious, some might say. Now that'd be a reason to get a next generation console, mate.
Yeah. One of the things I used to love about Roller Coaster Tycoon was when you could actually ride the roller coaster.
Yes.
I love little touches like that in that sort of game. Because if you can't do it, it's kind of like,
what's the point?
What's the point? But to actually ride a roller coaster that you built, I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. Little tip: if you rename one of the guests as Michael Schumacher and one of the guests is Damon Hill, they race faster on the go-kart track.
Really?
Yeah.
That's no American. Way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to download that again.
Try that out.
For me, it'll be quite an easy one because I've always wanted to play basically Far Cry 3, right? But it's Jurassic Park. So with the mechanics of Far Cry 3...
That would be sick. Like Blood Dragon.
No,
they had dinosaurs, didn't it? Was it Blood Dragon?
No, it did. It were not dinosaurs. They had these big lizards.
Oh, right.
They were kind of like dinosaurs. Well, yeah, kind of like dinosaurs, but they had one type. But yeah. Where you had the bases in Far Cry 3, where they were these big metal sort of bases, and you could disarm the gates and things in Blood Dragon. So they kind of did a weird mishmash. But I want it literally like Jurassic Park, the original one, where you've got like the Velociraptor cage is all like this big metal thing, and you can go inside it. But then
that would be sick.
The park goes mental, and the doors open, and the dinosaurs get out. And I'd love to play like a first person on an island Jurassic Park game where you can ride vehicles. Just Far Cry 3 does Jurassic Park.
I mean, that is achievable.
It's not even that far. Very achievable. Like you said, Blood Dragon wasn't that dissimilar, and they went mental with like neon lights and ray guns and all sorts.
Well, they visited prehistoric times, like cavemen.
Yes,
didn't they?
Yeah. In
primal, but I can't remember any dinosaurs in there.
Pterodactyls. But yeah,
woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers.
Not Rust. What's the one with dinosaurs?
Turok.
Ark. Yeah, Ark. Survival evolved. Yeah.
That had dinosaurs in it.
Yeah.
But no, I'd love a Far Cry 3 game that was like Jurassic Park. But yeah, I'd even go for the story in the original Jurassic Park.
And it would look good as well. They just rewrite the original Jurassic Park.
Just do
the
story.
Easy cash
in
isn't it?
Far Cry. Sure, yeah. Visuals. Ubisoft, make it happen.
Itself to a game because you can even play as different characters and different story elements where one, you know, you've got to hunt the velociraptors. You could throw some more dinosaurs in, obviously. Like, there's only three velociraptors in the first one. Maybe you could
combine all the story. I mean, all the Jurassic Park stories into like one big campaign.
Yeah, I'd love that. I've always wanted to play a Far Cry 3 Jurassic Park game. So there you go.
Of all the games suggested, yours is the most feasible, I'd say, Jonesy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'd make it. Come on,
yours is the least achievable because you basically want all games in one game.
Not just a management game or first person game and a naval combat game. That's it. It's not asking for much.
I do. So I love the idea of that Ready Player One world where it's a hub world where everything branches off it and every type of game exists. I think it's
that'd be great.
I that's a future thing. I think so.
That will happen soon.
Off. Yeah. Especially
moving. We just go
VR.
Like this and you're and then you run around.
That'll be cool. Well, that's a sprint vector, is that, isn't it? Yeah. Just running. That was Richard Rosales' question. Thank you for your question, Richard. Barack Obanta says, favourite Mortal Kombat character and why? Shall I go first?
Yeah,
this one?
Go on
easy
then, mate.
One for me.
Scorpion. Yours, yeah.
I think always, even when I was a kid, like I think Scorpion was just a very cool character, and the whole get over here was just pretty wicked, and he looks cool. And he's flamey and he pulls his head off and he's a skeleton.
I can't remember who I played yesterday. I'm trying to think back who I enjoyed playing as yesterday.
I can tell you my least favourite Mortal Kombat character as well. Kano. What a dick.
Yeah, I like Kano.
I hated
Kano. Kano's alright.
Australian. He was.
He's British,
sounded,
isn't he?
Well, someone told me in the chat he was Australian.
He's a Cockney.
But I thought he sounded like a Cockney yesterday.
Yeah.
In the film.
He's a Cockney.
Oh, Kano.
I think he's Cockney.
I thought half the stuff he says is like Cockney stuff.
There is this crazy bit though in the film when they're getting on the boat and Sonya Blade only goes to the tournament to get
Kano,
and he like walked past her to get on the boat and he's like, "All right, love." Yeah. And you think just fucking kill him there. Why are you going to
arrest him?
Well, I think she wants to kill him, to be fair. But why go through all that hassle? Just take him out. You're a secret agent, whatever you are, military.
Good point. You've ruined that film for me. No?
Shoot him in the back of the head as he walks past you. That goes so elaborate.
I think I'd go Reptile as my favourite, but like classic Reptile ways, basically a rip off of Sub-Zero and Scorpion,
just
in green. those are the days. And partly because like in Mortal Kombat 1, when he turns up and challenges you, that is well cool.
It is cool.
That is so cool. And he would always kick my ass.
He always kick mine as well.
Yeah, and I'd be like, oh, I look forward to playing you again in 15 hours time.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I suppose the idea is it gives you the time to get better at the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in theory. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could never beat Kintaro in Mortal Kombat 2. I completed Mortal Kombat 1, I completed 3 and all that, but Kintaro in 2 was just mental. I think, and then one time I did get past him, like Shao Kahn just comes in and like basically just drop kicks me, and it's like all my health's gone. I'm like, brilliant. I'm 8, mate.
I hate Baraka in 11.
Baraka, yeah.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He just kills me every time. I don't know why. Like all the others, I have a good go at, and then
but
whoever
got,
I play
got
is
your
Baraka.
Number.
We got to that. I got to the Baraka story part, Baraka's village in the story yesterday, and I couldn't
get past it.
I finished the stream at this point.
His moves are so annoying. Stabbing him. He's like Blanka from Street Fighter, where he just crouches down, electrocutes you. You go for a fly kick, and he goes,
man.
And you can't do anything. It's well annoying. Go on, what'd you say, Steph?
My favorite character is probably going to be, it's either going to be Kung Lao or Liu Kang. I can't remember which one has the razor hat.
Kung Lao.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
He's boomerang.
Very normal.
Yeah, I like him.
A normal dude.
He was easy to use yesterday.
One of the few. Him and Johnny Cage.
Oh, Johnny Cage normal in the dudes. Movie. The first movie would be. Is the best character in that movie.
Was he in the second movie?
Far. Liu Kang.
No, he dies at the start of the second. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Liu Kang's the hero of the first one, isn't he?
In the second movie, yes. When Sub-Zero flies in, you can see the wires that are suspended.
Really?
So cheap. It's
brilliant. I saw the first one at the cinema. Awesome.
The first one's actually pretty good. Yeah, and then they got rid of. They obviously couldn't afford Christopher Lambert for the sequel, so Raiden's a different actor.
Such a good Raiden. I loved him as Raiden. His laugh.
I don't think so.
Okay, and then the final question is from Chili One, who asked on our Discord. He said, 6 classic fighting games that would have gotten us grounded when we were kids.
I think
if
that's
your parents.
I think that's more of an idea of a 6 list, to be honest with you. But
I did ask for the podcast questions. For the podcast. I think he just put 6 because we always do everything in 6s. So we don't have to go 6. Let's just go for a
classic fighter games that would have gotten me grounded.
So if your parents had seen you playing, like Mortal Kombat,
my parents let me play any. My parents weren't big with Mortal Kombat. You were banned from Mortal Kombat. You were banned from Nintendo, weren't you?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed Nintendo.
But you were allowed Sega?
Yeah. Sega and PlayStation.
Why weren't they... What was the Nintendo bias?
I don't know. Too immature.
If Mortal Kombat...
So as a kid, your brother's like, you're not playing that Nintendo crap. That's for kids.
Here's your Sega.
Yeah. Here's your Sega.
Like
Here's
Echo Sega. The Dolphin.
Yeah.
I loved Echo the Dolphin.
Rubbish. Only because you didn't have a Nintendo.
I loved it.
Yeah, I was allowed to play anything.
The only game I remember as a kid being told I wasn't allowed to play was Resident Evil.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't allowed to play that. I remember I snuck downstairs because my dad was in my lounge and he was playing Resident Evil. And I was like looking through the crack in the door.
Watching him play
Resident Evil. I must have been about 3.
Fair. I mean, could you even have played it as a 3-year-old? Jesus Christ.
It's difficult because I think I know what he means by the question. So what games now
would get you grounded?
So MK11 at the age of when I played MK1, there's no way my parents would let me play MK11.
Okay,
like,
so
with the brutalities and stuff.
Let me just flip this round.
Oh, no.
Let me just flip this round because you're a dad now.
Yeah.
So what games would you not want your kid to be playing?
Do you know what? It's so hard because... I've had this conversation with other people about like when they were kids and what their parents, and I was like, that's ridiculous. Why don't you let parents let you play that? But it's rough. I probably would let them play some bad games quite early, let's say 12. Yeah. So like Manhunt and stuff.
Yeah.
When they're like maybe 12, 13, I'd probably say, as long as they're like seem mature pretty switched enough. On.
Yes. Yeah.
If they do seem not mature, then I wouldn't let them. Mortal Kombat, again, probably wait until they're say 12 or 13. Grand Theft Auto definitely would wait until they're sort of 12, 13.
Yeah. To be fair, though, like...
The worst games.
That's the sort of age where you would start getting interested in those games. Like, if you're an 8-year-old and you're into Manhunt, Jesus Christ.
I reckon on that cusp of becoming a teenager, I'd be I'm a pretty open dad. I'll be like, okay, as long as you can play, like, you appreciate...
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a natural point.
And how do you tell?
You can do it.
What if your kid's secretly in his room, like,
careful?
I don't know, killing pigeons.
If he's in there killing pigeons, mate, you've already got big trouble.
Yeah. What if he kills a pigeon on the way home? And you don't really know it's happening.
If he's killing pigeons in his room, he's probably already got a copy of Manhunt, and he just know about it.
It's weird. I'd much rather they were playing games that were like violent like that than the games like Rape Play and shit. You know, the weird.
I think that too. I think
if they want to
this
play,
this is taking
that,
a turn
because then it's not, like
because it, those crosses are sort of a line, games that, doesn't
it? Those are yeah, those, yeah, yeah, those games are like out of the ballpark insane.
Or even because it's weird because even in GTA, like I used to do crazy stuff in GTA 3 when I was a kid. I used to do like, you know, kill people for no reason and shoot people, but it was never
the fastest car you could find
and do drive-bys on just random people.
Of course, that's like, what the game is designed for.
Even in GTA 2 and 1, I used to like run over people all the time. But it's because it wasn't realistic. But as soon as you've got a game like, well, some of the more controversial games, often Japanese, where
it gets... Active Shooter, that was a big one that was banned recently.
Is that the school shooter one?
Yeah. See, things like that.
But
I don't think anyone should be playing games like that.
I kind of agree, but I don't think. I think those are kind of more like dark humor kind of games. in the sense of I can see why you'd play it to be like, oh, this feels bad. Whereas if you wanted to play a game specifically about, like, if it was a game about being a pedo, I don't understand why anyone would play that.
There are games like that.
I genuinely don't think there's anything. But is it, if you active shooter, shooting games are fun. First person shooters are fun. If there was a weird game where you had to put effort into like grooming someone online, then that would be like, what
if you're
doing?
An active shooter,
what are you doing?
Shooting.
Yeah.
But okay, but no Russian is a cool level.
Yeah, but you don't play that and think, oh, this is so awesome mowing down this crowd. In
first time I played it, I didn't shoot anyone.
Would you play that?
First time I played no Russian, I didn't shoot
anyone. My dad never showed anyone. That was interesting. I walked through. Because I was just like,
oh, so
open
I didn't.
Fire.
I was like, do I have to? I was like, I don't want to shoot these random innocent people. I didn't, and I realized you didn't have to.
No.
I even felt bad about killing the cops who come and shoot at you. I tried to not shoot them, and I realized I had to shoot some of them.
To be fair, a game can influence how you behave as well. Like playing GTA 5, when you played as Trevor, I would play completely differently to how I was playing with, like,
me too.
Michael or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, God, what's his name? He's the young guy.
Franklin.
When I was Franklin, I was, like, the nicest kind of, like, a young, up-and-coming guy who's maybe made some rough decisions. When I was Michael, I was a little bit ruthless. And when I played Trevor, I was a psychopath.
Just do what you want, yeah. Like, Trevor was there to be, like, traditional GTA mode.
Yes. Yeah.
You would just go, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, mow down these people for no reason.
Franklin genuinely was, like, a nice guy who did some bad shit.
But, like, yeah, a game can influence, like, how you act as well, so, yeah.
Sorry to get dark, but you know what I mean? There's weird games out there now.
Oh, yeah, there is some dark stuff.
They're the stuff I'd say to my kid, like, you're not playing any of this.
Playing that.
Yeah.
But the triple A's,
The big stuff.
Yeah, the big stuff, are probably past the age of 12, 13, I reckon I'd be pretty open to letting them play anything.
Yeah.
Also, I'd play with them, and I'd play the games as well, so I'd know what the games are like. One of the problems is parents.
It's a judgment call, though, isn't it? It's a judgment call. Like you say, like, if your kid's quite switched on and mature for his age, knock yourself out.
Which I think I was.
Whereas if they're not, you're like, well, just stick to Mario Finale, mate.
My uncle, I found it quite interesting. He used to, he's not a gamer at all, and my little cousin is a gamer, and he used to say, yeah, just go and play Grand Theft Auto, play whatever you want. It was very, very kind of like blasé about games. Didn't really know enough about them. He noticed my cousin playing Grand Theft Auto one day. And it wasn't the violence or shooting people or anything like that, but it was the radio stations and the topics that they were talking on the radio.
Oh, weird.
That he thought,
really?
Don't be listening to that.
It's
funny
because
he had to play then.
With silence.
He was only a young teenager, like 12, 13, but he then had to play the game with the sound off because of what was being said on the radio.
Right. It's funny because if I wouldn't mind my kid playing a game with swearing in it, as long as they didn't then start swearing. Like you say about maturity, if they were like 11 or 12 and then they were playing GTA and they started dropping the F-bomb, I'd be like, what are you doing? You're not playing that game anymore.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. Like, I knew all the swear words under the sun by the age of 9. I just didn't say them in front of my...
That's the kicker.
You just don't swear in front of your parents.
That's the kicker. I used to swear when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Swear, but I don't want it... If you say it to me, then you've obviously... You're not getting the thing that you can say it when you're with your mates.
Yeah.
But if I hear you say it, I'm going to have to pretend like... Hey, you shouldn't know those naughty words.
Exactly, yeah. Let's not break the contract. Yeah. It's an unspoken contract. You're going to swear with your mate. Just don't swear in front of me.
Because I do the same thing. I'm not going to swear in front of my kid. I'm going to pretend that I don't swear. And then when I'm doing all sorts... Oh, my mum told me off for saying the C word on a six list.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she got well annoyed. She watches some of our stuff and she was like... Oh, she called me. I can't believe you said that on a video.
I'm ashamed of you.
She didn't go that far. All right, mate. But no, that was a good question. I know we kind of branched out a bit, but it's an interesting one. Interesting topic. Opens
Indeed.
It up. I think that's pretty much it.
Yes, lovely.
Thank you for joining today, guys. It was really
no
great
problem.
To have you.
Thanks for
you.
Having me.
One last final shout out to people want to get in contact with us. Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. Facebook, All Time Gaming Official. And if you are listening to this on a podcast platform, make sure you head over to our YouTube, which is All Time Gaming TV as well, I do believe.
Yeah.
We do live streams. We do listicles. We do
video essays as well now.
Video
in depth.
Essays. And the podcast is also available on there as a video. So go check it out. And we will see you next time.
See you in a bit.
Bye.